This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
5 years after China abandons its one-child rule, there still are not enough babies to sustain the economy there. I'm David Brancaccio. First, there's news today that this year's Nobel Peace Prize has just been awarded to not a person but an organization, the World Food Program, part of the United Nations, which does both emergency food aid and works to develop ongoing food security. The BBC's Caroline Hawley reports.
Around the world, according to the World Food Program, 1 in 11 people go to bed with an empty stomach. And the coronavirus is exacerbating hunger and starvation, particularly in countries like Yemen and South Sudan, which are at war. The chair of the Nobel Committee praised WFP for stepping up its feeding programs in response to the pandemic. Hunger and conflict created a vicious cycle, she said, describing food security as an instrument of peace. And she appealed to countries around the world to increase their funding for the UN agency, warning of a hunger crisis of inconceivable proportions if they didn't.
That's the BBC's Caroline Hawley. Checking the markets, the FTSE index in London at the moment is up 0.6%. Here, Dow and S&P futures are each up 0.4%. The price of crude oil is actually down about 1% now. Still quite high, though, nearly $41 a barrel, with Hurricane Delta forcing the closure of more Gulf of Mexico fossil fuel production than at any time in the last 15 years. 92% of the output has been stopped for now. And we're also thinking of the people on land, especially in Louisiana, who will face the brunt of the storm starting tonight. In the U.S., many restaurants have commandeered sidewalks and parking lots to set up outdoor tables during the pandemic, especially in areas where indoor eating has been formally restricted. The outdoor tables have been a lifeline for restaurants, but a new report from Goldman Sachs estimates that winter weather will reduce consumer spending at restaurants by as much as 4%, which means some restaurants may need to rethink things, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Sam Glenn owns Chomp Kitchen and Drinks in Warren, Rhode Island. It's been sunny and warm there lately, but
starting next week, we're actually putting a 20 by 50 tent over our beer garden that will be heated with a tent heater to hopefully, buy us a few more months.
He'll rent the tent for about $7,000 a month, and he's paying for it with some help from the local government that offered grants to restaurants to weatherproof for the winter. Mike Watley with the National Restaurant Association says Glenn is lucky to find anything.
In certain markets, finding heat lamps for outdoors is as difficult now as finding toilet paper was for consumers in March.
And even if restaurant owners can find heaters, they also have to pay for the propane. Watley says across the country, outdoor dining is making up roughly half of all restaurant sales. So when winter hits, he says those in colder areas will either have to find a heating solution or could be forced to shut down. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Residents of Flint, Michigan are suing three big banks for allegedly contributing to their dangerously contaminated water system. The theory is the banks are in part to blame for underwriting a $200 million municipal bond sale that bought water infrastructure without proper corrosion controls, leading to lead contamination. The banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Stifel Nicolaus, the suit seeks $2 billion in damages. The banks have yet to comment.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next,
we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
China has the world's second largest economy, but there are worries there that it won't be able to sustain growth for many reasons, including a workforce that is shrinking over time. 5 years ago this month, China announced that it would abolish its policy banning people from having more than one child. Two are permitted now. The baby boom did not last, in part because of the cost of raising kids. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak spoke to one family in the eastern province of Zhejiang.
2-year-old Fang Zixian is the luckiest in his family. His belly is always full. Unlike his grandfather's generation, he plays with toys and travels on vacation, things his dad, Fang Yuan, didn't have as a child. But that's not all.
We give him the best clothes and food we can afford.
His meals are stir-fried separately from the family's with flaxseed oil. Healthier than soybean oil, but not cheap, says his mom, Zhang Mengyi. His milk formula, imported from France, costs 3 times more than domestic brands.
There have been too many reports about toxic milk formula, so I don't feel safe feeding my son domestic brands.
For decades, China allowed most families to have only one child, and this was enforced with mandatory birth control and sometimes forced abortions. Now, each family can have 2 children, but not enough want to, because of the high cost of living and housing prices, says sociology professor Wang Feng at UC Irvine. He says the birth rate has actually been dropping since 2017 to 14 million last year.
Given this unexpected low birth rate, the aging scenario for China will be more severe.
Meaning not enough young taxpayers will fund pensions for retirees. And a smaller workforce also stunts economic growth. Again, Professor Wang Feng.
If you compare China with China's neighbors in terms of the per capita income where they are, China is already getting old before it's rich.
As for Fang Zixian, his parents are determined to help him succeed, getting him into good schools, which means buying an apartment in the right district. Grandma and grandpa had to help with the down payment. And the expenses won't stop here, even though the family lives in the more affordable Chinese countryside, says the dad Fang Yuan.
My friends say with a son, we need to help him buy a home, a car, and pay for wedding costs.
Have a second child, he says? No thanks. In eastern Zhejiang province, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
And in this streaming on-demand era, live TV is still a major force in politics. Audience research from Nielsen shows the Kamala Harris-Mike Pence debate Wednesday night was watched by nearly 58 million people, the second highest ratings for any vice presidential debate ever. Palin Biden in 2008 was the one with the bigger audience as people looked in to see what the Alaska governor was all about. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.